Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and so we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. And whether you are here live or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being here. Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions, to really connect with the depths of who you are, because that's where wisdom resides. That's where transformation of the heart and human consciousness comes from. Today we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations. Each one of those is going to be followed by a few moments of silence where you're invited to our spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, rest. To resonate is just to be curious about something that might connect with you. It might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect is to take that time to ponder deeply, to meditate with images and thoughts. You may choose to respond in many ways by journaling or prayer or movement, or simply to rest, to be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. Then we're going to close with a spiritual practice and a period of time for a group dialogue. Today's theme is that nonviolence begins within. So friends, you're invited to take a moment now and find a calm, centered presence. Take a gentle breath. Open your heart. We'll practice as we listen, listening from the heart space. Our ability to choose nonviolence is inextricably tied to our own inner healing. There's always a linkage between the inner journey of contemplation and our ability to work against violence in the world, in our culture, and in ourselves. And as long as we bring to our actions a violence that primarily exists within ourselves, nothing really changes. That's why we have to change the present. We have to begin within and allow ourselves to be transformed. Then the future can be different than the present. Authentic spirituality is always on the first level about us as individuals. So it's not navel gazing. It's really giving of ourselves to the whole world. Now, many people intellectually have accepted Gandhi's or Martin Luther King Jr.'s teachings on nonviolence, and they try to execute it by willpower. But friends, that is not the mystery of participation. People like that aren't participating in a qualitatively new and different life in themselves. Martin Luther King Jr. himself said that it was going to take a qualitative change of soul as well as a quantitative change in society. But people that are operating from this space of not changing themselves, they may have changed their minds, but they really haven't changed their hearts. Their will and their egos are still totally in control with their need to be right, to win and have success, which almost always leads to violence of some kind. And yes, these are people on the right and the left and in between. When we find inside ourselves the positive place of communion and holiness, then there's really nothing to react to. And our action can be very firm because it comes from the place where we know what's real, what's good, what's true, and what's beautiful. And that's when we know it's prayer energy. And that's what it means to be a person of true nonviolence. Now, from our very birth, we each carry a certain amount of pain. And if that pain is not healed and transformed, it actually increases as we grow older. And then we transmit it to people around us. We can become violent in our attitudes and our gestures and our words and our actions. So we must nip this process in the bud by acknowledging and owning our own pain rather than projecting it elsewhere. Contemplative practice, that's what helps us develop this capacity to watch ourselves, our capacity to let go of a thought, and our capacity to connect with our loving inner presence, our inner witness. And although it may sound simple, it's not, but if we can simply observe the negative patterns in ourselves, we have already begun to separate from it. So unless we can become the watcher, we'll almost always identify with our feelings and our judgments. They will feel like real and objective truth. And most people are overly identified with their own thoughts and feelings. We can say they don't really have feelings. Their feelings have them. So all of our healing and prayer must descend into the unconscious, where the lies we have believed are hidden in our wombs and they're embedded in the social reality of our cultures. But contemplation, contemplative practice, heals us from the judgments and thoughts that so often lead to violence against ourselves and others. And over a lifetime of practice, contemplation gradually helps us detach from who we think we are, and it allows us to rest in our authentic identity as love. At first, this may feel like an identity transplant until we really learn how to permanently rest in God. So let's enter into contemplative practice now and see if we might practice resting in God. Well, friends, sharing a common table is a nonviolent resistance to the violence of division. In Jesus' vision, we are all part of one body held in God's all-embracing love. And so this embrace makes each one of us a sister and brother, and that in itself can make nonviolence possible. Because nonviolence is only possible in community. True community roots out violence by dismantling the motive behind so much violence. That motive being that the other is not valued. And this kind of love rescues and heals the enemy from violence and hatred. The starting place for exploring the nonviolence of our Master Yeshua is in his vision of this all-embracing love of God. This approach to life includes hope for basic well-being of the other. And Jesus always found those who had been pushed outside the circle of care and invited them back into the community through the door of healing. He taught the community that its well-being was tied to the well-being of each member. You may have heard me say this before about interbeing, but interbeing means that your well-being and my well-being are one being. And Jesus extends healing and holy power to the rejected and untouchable of the world. Is your local community or church excluding the rejected and untouchable of the world? Well, for Jesus, in so doing, he demonstrates that no one is outside the circle of well-being. That is the radical love of Jesus. And it's this kind of radical love we learn to know in God. It creates an awareness that human life is not about appeasing a vengeful God. It's about responding in love. This is a spirituality purified of violence at its very roots. It takes a commitment to nonviolence. That commitment to nonviolence requires us to heal any division between ourselves and those that we consider other. Creating beloved community is about cultivating love for those that are difficult to love. And if you're not struggling to love people, if you are not trying to create understanding with those you disagree with, then you're not really doing the work of creating beloved community. And violence? Well, violence can never create beloved community. Only love can do that. Love and peacemaking are inextricable from one another, and they're both from God. We are all like localized vibrations of the infinite goodness of God's presence. Love is our very nature. Love is our first, middle, and last name. Love is all. Love is self-forgetful and free of self-interest. And I've shared before how troubled I feel when I hear church people talk about, I love them, but I don't accept their lifestyle. Well, that's not love, because love is self-forgetful and free of self-interest. In And friends, nonviolence is to be an artist of your humanity, to bring the best of you, not by solving problems, but also by living, by experiencing, by practicing. It's about your humanity is my instrument, and I have to be able to bring you to that place. One of the core principles of nonviolence, this core worldview of nonviolence, is the unwavering faith in humanity and the goodness of people. No matter how much harm someone may have committed, that the possibility of transformation and the possibility of resilience is there. So let's pause here for a moment to take these words into the darkness, into the silence, and resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. In this third segment this evening, I'd like to share with you, we'll call them two conversations. The first one is actually based on a teaching by James Finley on the mystical foundations of nonviolence. It's really a first-person response to God's calling in love. So I will be speaking on your behalf. As I, in that pronoun. God created you as God's beloved, as someone to whom God could completely give the infinity of God's self away as the mystery of who you are in your nothingness without God. You have been endowed by God with the gift to realize it, the gift to really taste that oneness. And from this first taste, we will not do violence to the God-given, godly nature of life itself. I will not go around acting as if I'm nothing, but the self to which things happen in the idolatry of conditioned states. If I act out of that idolatry, I commit violence. Yeshua, all of these things you say about God, about life, what is it that if we could ground ourselves in that, everything that you say would fall into place? And Yeshua said, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. How can I learn to be free from the tyranny of fear in the midst of my fears? How can I learn to be free from the tyranny of my brokenness in the midst of my brokenness? God is the presence that spares us from nothing even as God unexplainably sustains us in all things. When suffering is there, God depends on us to reach out and touch the suffering with love that it might dissolve in love. And to be present to suffering and to touch the suffering with love that it might dissolve in love means to be grounded in the peace that is not dependent on the outcome of the effort. Because regardless of how it turns out, God is unexplainably taking us to God, breath by breath, moment by moment. And this second conversation is the Christ speaking to us and us responding based on some writings from Richard Rohr. Christ saying, "My beloved, I am yourself. I am your beauty. I am your goodness, which you are destroying. I am what you do to what you should love. I am what you are afraid of, your deepest and best and most naked self, your soul. Your sin largely consists in what you do to harm goodness, your own and others. You are afraid of the good. You are afraid of me. You kill what you should love. You hate what could transform you. I am Yeshua crucified. I am yourself, and I am all of humanity." In response, "Crucified one, you are my life, and you are also my death. You are my beauty, you are my possibility, and you are my full self. You are everything I want. You are everything I am afraid of. You are everything I desire, and you are everything I deny. You are my outrageously ignored and neglected soul. Yeshua, your love is what I fear most. I can't let anybody love me for nothing. Intimacy with you or anyone terrifies me. Christ, I am an image of what is happening everywhere, and I want it to stop today. I want to stop the violence toward myself, toward the world, toward you. I don't need to ever again create any victim, even in my mind." And our response as humans: "You alone refuse to be crucifier, even at the cost of being crucified. You never asked for sympathy. You never played the victim or asked for vengeance. You breathe forgiveness. You live in me and I live in you. You are inviting me out of this endless cycle of illusion and violence. In your perfect love, you have chosen to enter into union with me. And I am slowly learning to trust this could be true." The silence. Resonate, reflect, respond, and rest, and trust that this could be true. Friends, nonviolence begins within. And if we are seeing violence out there, then it is reflecting a piece of what is in here. And so nonviolence trainers, Veronica Pelikarik, one of my friends who passed away a couple of years, and her friend Nina wrote a book on nonviolence, and they offer us what they call the 4 A's as guidelines to help us become more aware of our feelings and emotions so we're better able to respond compassionately rather than react violently. So that is our practice this week. The first A is acknowledge. When you notice a feeling, acknowledge its presence. Just simply name it. And if you're not alone, it could be good to verbalize it, what you are feeling. Maybe even tell another person so they know what's going on in you. I'm feeling irritated right now is an example of acknowledging a feeling. Allow. Allow both your feelings and thoughts. If violent images or words come to mind, you can observe them. You take a deep breath and realize this is not what you really want to act out. Breathe out and release. And if scary images or thoughts come to mind, well, do the same. Take a deep breath and ask yourself if your thoughts are realistic. Do a reality check. And breathe out. And release. And tell yourself you can deal with it. Third is ask. Ask yourself, what is the reason for your feeling? Where does it come from? What need or value do you hold that wasn't met? For example, did you need care, appreciation, or understanding? What would you like to hear in this situation? And then with curiosity and care, investigate it. And try to have a compassionate dialogue with yourself. And that third one is ask. And the fourth one is accept. Accept that you are not perfect. And go ahead and forgive yourself. You can offer reassurance with a sentence such as, I am patient, or I'm able to handle this. And if it helps, you can bring to mind a loving being, a family member, a friend, or pet. Take a little bit of time to focus on your body, to release any tension through your breathing or by relaxing your muscles and letting your thoughts go. And slowly, through practices such as these, we begin to transform the violence within ourselves and to ourselves so that we can better give what we have, because you cannot give what you ain't got. So at this point, we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners. And tonight's message has been that great reminder that we do at this time each night, that love is the way, and that you are love. You were made with love, by love, in love. You were made as love. So continue to step out in the world and be awesome and be love. And we hope to see our podcast and YouTube listeners join us live on Wednesday. But for now, good night. Hope to see you next week.